Open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 6. Let's talk about some chains of love. I loved it in a particular class where they said, if you're going to have joys and concerns, you've got to keep them short. Either that or you'll have to compromise the preaching. I said, well, then you need to come sit at Long Meadow on a Sunday morning, because we do everything until we're done. And if it takes till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then so be it. We're going to get it all out and get it in the open. Romans chapter 6, 15th verse. Slaves to righteousness. Chained. Paul writing this letter to the Romans. And you want to talk about some hard reading? I challenge you to read any chapter of Romans. It'll shake you to your very core and bring you back to what is righteous. He writes these words, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free and have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 19. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now, that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, open us up, set us forward as we prepare to delve into your message. Let it not be from me, Father. These are not my words. These are thoughts put in by you. These are words from you. I merely say them. Let them enrich us. Let them help us to impart your spirit and guide us on that path we take every day, reaching towards you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, not too awfully long ago, I fancied that I should become a blacksmith. I thought to myself, you know, and it was one of them days when my mind wasn't working quite right. It was a rainy day, cold and miserable, and I was watching a whole length of Western movies, which is what I love to do when I can't do anything else. You can ask my wife, don't you come in the room when I'm watching a good Western and start talking to me. Because I have a rubber band gun and I'm not afraid to use it. And I always like watching the blacksmith. And I fancied myself becoming a blacksmith. And I've always been interested in it. And so several years ago, my uncle and I built a blacksmith shop out at the farm. We're going to become smithies. We're not doing so well yet, but it doesn't matter. We mostly make a mess. But I wanted to become a blacksmith, and I have a very good friend who is. He is a blacksmith. He can grab a hold of a hammer and some coal and a piece of steel and make something. And he said, Paul, I'll tell you what. You want to learn how to do it? Here's exactly how you do it. Take 2 weeks vacation, go down to Williamsburg, Virginia. Enroll in the blacksmith academy down there. Within 2 weeks, you'll be a blacksmith. I said, man? All right. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, let me explain to you what you're going to do. For the first 4 days you're there, 4 days, 10 hours a day, for 4 days. In period clothing, I might add. Let's put this whole picture together. I am a voluptuous man, dressed in wool with a big leather apron on and heavy boots with a big hat, inside of a room that is 1,000 degrees for 10 hours a day. He said, you know what you're going to make? You're going to make nails, Paul. You're going to make nails all day long. They're going to show you how to make nails, and you're going to make nails. And when you stop for lunch, your lunch ain't going to be at McDonald's. You're going to eat whatever they've cooked in the house. And then you're going to go back to making nails again. Because everything down there has to be period correct. And the blacksmith down there really works. And they make nails for when they're doing repair work, because they have to be handmade nails. You're going to make nails all day long. I can handle that. He said, when you've done that, then they're going to teach you how to make chains, Paul. You're going to learn how to make chains all day long. Well, I could handle that. He said, Paul, for 4 days you're going to make nails. For 4 days you're going to make chains. I said, then what do I get to do? He said, then you get to help clean up. He said, when you walk out of there, you'll understand how a blacksmith works, how they live, how they work. And you'll understand the characteristics of it. So I went home and I got my forge fired up, which is basically a wrench, and I took out some round stock that I had in the shop, and I said, I don't need any of that fancy teaching. I know how to do all this stuff. I've read a couple books. I've seen it on television. I got hammers. I got metal. I got fire. Time to make a blacksmith. I said, I'm going to make some chains. So I got down in that shop and I started wailing away on half-inch round stock. And I made my first link, which I'm telling you right now, looked like a spaghetti noodle. Then I banged up my second link and bent it around the first link. And that thing came out looking like a macaroni noodle. And I kept looking at that chain. I thought, well, I've got to get better. So I kept on banging links, and I kept on putting them together, and I'd bring them around and try to get them to meet, and I'd put them back in the fire, and the link would get hot, and I'd try to smack them together so they'd weld, and that end would break, and there I was. And it took me 5 hours. I made 4 links. I throwed it in some oil to cool it down, because that's how you harden that stuff. I read that. I said, all right, let's see how strong it is. And I put that link against something and hooked it to the back of the four-wheeler and jerked the four-wheeler forward. And all 4 links went, bing, 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 bing. Eventually, I'm going to wind up in Williamsburg because I do want to learn how to do it. But it started to teach me something about how we're linked together in a chain that won't break. And Paul is talking about that. And you may find this odd on Palm Sunday, when every other church in the world is talking about what they laid down in the road to keep Jesus from touching the nasty dirt, how I'm talking about being chained to Him. Brothers and sisters, it all links up. Follow it along with me. We are hooked together forever. From the moment your knee hits that ground and you say, I am at the end of my human resources. Father, Jesus, that's it. I can't go no further. You're linked. Paul described it as being a slave. Later on, he'll talk about it as being chained. But you are chained forever to the side of Christ as a slave to righteousness. And thankful we are for it. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine what life would be like? Paul writes about it. In those verses, in that chapter there, in Romans chapter 6, Paul writes about it. What were the wages of sin? Death. What did you get from it? What did you ever gain from following sin? Nobody has an answer for that, because if you look deep inside your own self and you know that you sin, you know that you found nothing. Several years ago, well, maybe more than several years ago, I, like so many other Americans, got hooked into stupidity, which for me is easy to do. And I watched this program by that fool Geraldo Rivera. and he was going to open up Al Capone's vault. Boy, I sat in front of that television set. Does anybody remember that mess?
Yes.
He made an hour-long program out of opening up one of Al Capone's vaults. Oh, look what we have here. We're going to find out what's behind it. What's behind that thing? We don't know. We can't x-ray it. And the whole program was about that. And finally, they punched a hole through this vault in the basement of that hotel that he built. And Rivaldo stuck his head in there. And he said, and the smoke's clearing, and the dust is clearing, and I see nothing. That thing was empty. And I sat there in front of the TV, and I looked at my father, who I'd made sit and watch this for me. He goes, "Try getting that hour back, boy." It led to nothing. By becoming unhooked from reality, it led to nothing. Paul's writing that. He's writing that we are chained to Christ. Chained to Christ. I had a good friend. Had a dog that lived on a cable lead, on a chain, on a link, and he used to run by there, and that dog would run out to the end of that chain like he was going to take your leg off at the hip. And he'd run up to that thing. And one day, chain broke. I heard this story. I didn't see it happen. He said, "I was sitting there watching that old mutt, and the chain broke, and the dog figured out the chain broke, and it sat down because it didn't know what else to do." When we are unhooked from Christ, Paul writes it, when we are unhooked, we're lost. We don't know what to do. Those chains that we tried to forge as humans, those moments that we tried to bring forth in time where we said, "I can do it all," fail. I can't do anything. I am a big, strong farm boy. I can move cows around. I can throw calves over my shoulder. I can swing 100-pound feed bags around. I can get on tractors. I can do anything you want. I am strong. And you know what? I can't do anything. I can't heal. Can't save. Can't show you righteousness. Can't get you to heaven. I can't do any of those things. Why? Because I am chained to the side of Christ who can. Now what does that mean exactly? When you start talking slavery and being bound in slavery, oh, Paul uses that terminology correctly. When you are slaves to sin, in other words, when the impurities and the temptations and the destruction of this world were what led you, what guided you, what directed you, you were bent. You were broken. You were not free. Couldn't go past a beer joint without stopping in. That was me. Couldn't do a lot of things. Don't know why, because after a while, kind of lost sight, didn't you? Why am I still doing that? Let me tell you something about cussing. I could link words together in cuss word fashion that were incredible. And I never thought twice about it. Now, I can't hear them. Can't hear some of those words I used to use. When I hear people around me use them, and they do, I'm shocked. And I'm also reminded that as Paul said, "For as far removed as I am from the old me, it is still right there." If I am not linked to Christ, if I am not chained to Christ, if I am not continuing that chain of love, I am off the chain, I am lost, and my result is death. But when I am held to Him, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 12. How in the world does this all mean what it means as we stare forward to the upcoming day? John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus explains why he must die. Jesus replied, and this, brothers and sisters, is the chain of love. I want you to listen to these words. They're written in red for a reason, because he spake them. He said them. He explains why. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it only remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. A man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whosoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, pay attention, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then came a voice from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it. It said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of the world will be driven out. But pay attention to verse 32 and think about you being chained to him. But when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all men to myself. Say amen.
Amen.
That's a testimony. That's the definition of why you are chained to Christ Almighty. And why you have to continue this chain of love. You know, that song I sang talked about continuing things forward, continuing things forward. Do you know that until recently, it was mostly the Church of the Brethren denomination, and this is not an advertisement, this is a fact and a truth. It was until very recently, we were the only ones who celebrated love feast and washed feet in remembrance to continue that chain of love. Why? Because Christ himself deemed it necessary to continue and lay down his life. And brothers and sisters, as we look forward to just a couple of days from now, Christ has already come in the city. He's already wept over Jerusalem because he knows. The people have already laid down their cloaks on this Palm Sunday. And later on we hear the words that I am going to die. And he begins to explain it. And he tells you that I will be taken up from this earth and will draw all of them to myself. You are chained to his side. You are chained in righteousness. You will be lifted up. You will be taken to where he is. You will be placed in that eternal realm because of your belief in him, because you have given over from being caught by a slave of death to a slave of righteousness. Hallelujah. And so we look toward the love feast, which is a big day for me because I love it. Because I love doing this in remembrance of him. And I love the fact that in just a few short moments, we are all going to be gathered up down them steps. And we're going to be doing what he taught us to do. We're going to be remembering Christ. We're going to be looking down at those feet and we're going to be saying to ourselves, hey, I shall serve as he has served me. I shall be forward as he was forward for me. I shall chain myself to this memory as he has chained himself to me. And that link, brothers and sisters, will never break. You know why? Because he forged it. The Master. It's time to stop right here. It's time to prepare ourselves to head down to the table. Join with me in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, while we prepare to leave your sanctuary, and reset ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our desires around the table. Let us look at it from this perspective. That we have been invited to the feast. That this is what it'll look like in heaven. Would you turn that offer down up there? Brothers and sisters, if you walk through that gate and Jesus Christ girded himself with a towel and said, "You have come a long way, my child. Sit down here. I shall wash your feet." Would you turn away from it? And so let us remember this chain of love, this thing that we must keep doing, that we must show others, is waiting for us in just a few short moments. And oh, how wonderful it is to experience it. Oh, how wonderful it is to survey. And all are called to that. Let us set our hearts in motion. Chained to Him and His love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Before we go down, if you have that particular need, if you sing this last hymn, a prayer, come forward. If not, then I encourage you, I beg you, I plead with you that as you go out the door, head right to the basement where the table has been prepared and the time has come. I don't want to hear it that you can't bend down, put your hands in the water, but you're invited. Brother Jolly.
Feast and stand, turn to number 327, the old broken cross.
Thank you.
so, brothers and sisters, as we depart momentarily, may your feet be made ready. If you are going out into the world, may you be strengthened for this day, for this moment, for the time yet to come, and bind us together with that chain of love until we meet again either here or on God's golden shore, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.